Chapter 50. It turned out that Sister Ariel Wyan-Safaste had stayed in Toros Bend for several weeks, and the villagers knew her well. Though few people were comfortable having a sister in their presence, she had struck them as scholarly, absent-minded, and kind. The description was an immense comfort to Eline. It meant the letter was probably legitimate. That left her with a problem. Did she go north toward the Chantry after Uli, or did she go west after Kylar? She decided she had to go after Uli. Scenario wasn't safe for her. Her presence would make Kylar's work harder to accomplish, and she couldn't help him. The Chantry was safe, if intimidating, and Eline could at least make sure that Uli was safe, if not take her home. So she'd continued north the next morning. Aside from nearly exhausting her small savings, a night in a bed had only seemed to remind her body of all its aches, so she wasn't making good time. She'd get to the Chantry faster if she made her horse go faster than a walk, but the very thought of a canter made Eline groan. The mare's ears flicked up, as if wondering what she was saying. Then, Eline saw the rider, 40 paces away. He wore black armor, though no helmet, and he carried neither sword nor shield. He was hunched over in the saddle on a small, long-haired horse. The man's hand was pressed to his side, covering a wound, his pale face spotted with blood. As Eline pulled her mare to an abrupt stop, he looked up and saw her. His lips worked, but no words came. He tried again.
"Help, please,"
he said in a hoarse whisper. She flicked her reins and came to his side. Despite the pain on his face, he was a handsome young man, barely older than she was.
"Water,"
he begged. Eline grabbed her water skin, then paused. The young warrior had a full wineskin dangling from his saddle. His pallor wasn't the paleness of blood loss. He was Caladoran. His eyes lit with triumph, even as she dug in her heels. He snatched the rein nearest him. Eline's mare danced in a circle that the man's smaller horse quickly followed. Eline tried to jump out of the saddle, but her leg was trapped between the horses. Then his mailed fist flashed. It caught her above the ear. She fell. It was a descent into hell. Logan was still too weak to do even half of the work in lowering himself, but Nasher seemed content to do almost all of it, lowering them hand under hand. Logan just watched. The first 20 feet was sheer black fireglass that made up the hole, utterly smooth and featureless. Then the hole opened up in an enormous chamber. Iridescent green algae clung to the distant walls and gave off just enough light to see dimly, and it was as if they'd plunged into an alien world. The rotten eggs smell was sharper down here, and puffs of heavy smoke rolled up toward them, obscuring Logan's view of thousands of stalagmites jutting unevenly from the invisible cavern floor. The howlers were quiet, and Logan prayed they would stay that way. Over the months, he'd lost his confidence that the sound was merely wind rising through the rocks. Nasher was beginning to breathe heavily, but he maintained the same pace, hand under hand. All around them, except from directly beneath the hole itself, stalactites glistened like icy knives, and the sound of water dripping from their tips lay just beneath the rush of wind. The wind barely moaned as it rose from the depths. They descended for 2 more minutes before Logan saw the first corpse. It was desiccated from the hot, dry winds, but it must have been a holer who had fallen, been pushed, or jumped decades or centuries ago. The body rested, impaled for so long on a stalagmite that the rock was growing over it, the stone slowly entombing the man. Then there were others. Nasher had to slow his descent several times to push off from stalagmites, and each time they saw inmates who'd never had rope. Some were even older than the first, their bodies gashed from hitting several stalagmites on the way down. Some were missing body parts, having had them sheared off by the rock or fallen off through the years. But the slickness of the stalagmites had prevented rats from getting to them, and the sear wind had kept them from rotting. The only unrecognizable bodies were the few along the wetter areas by the wall that had become homes for the algae. These glowed green, like ghosts trying to pull out of the wall. Finally, they began reaching ledges, most of them too far off to one side for Logan and Nash to reach. But on one against a wall, he saw a corpse seated. His dried-out bones were intact. Somehow, this man had lived through the descent, whether he'd used a rope or just fallen and been spared through some miracle. Then, he'd died down here. His empty eye sockets stared a question at Logan. Can you do better? Suddenly, the sinew rope shook. Logan looked up, but there was only blackness. His vision below was blocked by Nasher. Let's hurry, Nash. The big man protested wordlessly. I know, you're doing great. You're doing fantastic. But I don't know how long Lily can hold the rope. We don't want to end up like these guys, do we? Nasher went faster. They passed another ledge, and Logan saw that the ground around the base of the stalagmites was thick with soil, rather than bare rock. Soil? Here? Not soil. Human waste. Generations of criminals had been kicking their feces into the hole. Among the spires of rock, not all of it was dried. So the entire area smelled like an open sewer with rotten eggs mixed in. Logan started to turn away when he saw something glint as they passed right next to another ledge. He looked again and couldn't see anything. Stop for a second, Nasher. Logan reached his hand into the 6-inch-deep layer of shit and groped around. Nothing. He pushed his arm in up past the elbow, ignoring the slime that oozed all over his skin. There. He pulled out a lump of something and wiped it against his other arm. It was the key. Amazing, he said. A miracle. We aren't going to die down here after all, Nash. Now let's get to the bottom and untie Finn's body. Then we can try to climb back up. They might even be able to pull us up. As it turned out, they were close to the bottom, or at least another ledge. There was a steam vent nearby that billowed acrid smoke over them, obscuring everything below and killing the luminescent algae, so Logan couldn't see far enough to tell where they were, if, indeed, such a question had any meaning in hell. Nasher stopped and grunted. He stepped away from the rope, spreading his fingers out to ease the pain in them. Logan put his feet back on semi-solid ground. The sewage here was only a few inches deep. With a sigh. He hadn't held nearly as much weight as Nasher had, but he was still exhausted. Then he saw the rope. It was loose. Nasher! Logan called, his throat tight. How long's there been slack in the rope? Nasher blinked at him. The question didn't mean anything to the simpleton. Nash! Finn's alive! He could be... Ah! Something sharp stabbed into Logan's back, and he fell. Finn more fell than jumped on top of him. The convict moved like he'd dislocated his hip, and he was bleeding from his head, his mouth, both shoulders, and one leg. In his right hand, he held the broken, bloodied tip of a stalagmite. As he fell on Logan, he began slashing. He was injured and pitifully weak, but Logan was weaker. Finn's sharp rock bit into his chest, gashed open his forearm as he tried to block, cut from his forehead past his ear. Logan tried to throw Finn off the ledge, but he was too weak. There was a feral roar, louder than the roar of a sudden eruption of the vent below them. Hot steam and fat drops of boiling water flew past them a moment before Nasher hit. He knocked Finn off Logan and bit his nose, rising a moment later with a bloody chunk in his filed teeth. Finn screamed a bubbly scream. Before he could scream again, Nasher grabbed Finn's dislocated leg, pulling him away from Logan. The wounded man screamed again, louder, higher. He reached out, tried to grab anything to get away from Nasher. Then, Finn's body caught between two stalagmites. Nasher either didn't see or didn't care. He had decided to pull Finn away from Logan, and that was what he was going to do. Logan saw the misshapen man's shoulders bunch, the muscles stringy knots of power. Nasher braced his feet and roared as Finn screamed. There was a rending sound as the dislocated leg gave way. Nasher stumbled and fell as he ripped Finn's leg off and sent it sailing into the abyss. Finn locked hateful eyes on Logan as he gasped his last breaths, his life's blood spurting from his torn hip, his face ghost pale.
"See you in hell, King," he said.
"I've already done my time," Logan said. He held up the key. "I'm leaving." Finn's eyes flared with hatred and disbelief, but he didn't have the strength to speak. The hate slowly left his open eyes. He was dead.
"Nash, you were amazing. Thank you."
Nash smiled. With his filed, bloody teeth, it was a gruesome sight. But he meant well. Logan trembled. He was bleeding pretty badly. He didn't know if he'd make it, even if they ran into no problems getting out of the hole and out of the maw. But there was no reason for Nash to die too, or Lily. And Nash wouldn't climb the rope without him. He knew that.
"All right, Nash. You're strong. Are you strong enough to climb out of here?"
Nasher nodded and flexed. He liked being called strong.
"Then let's get out of this hell," Logan said.
But even as he grabbed the rope, he felt a slackness in it. A moment later, the entire length of the sinew rope fell around them. There would be no climbing out. There would be no using the precious key. There would be no escape. The holers had dropped the rope.
"Where the hell are they?"
Tensor Orsul demanded.
The holers barely recognized him in his fine tunic with his face shaved and his hair washed.
"Where do you think they are? They escaped,"
Lily said.
"They escaped? Impossible."
"No shit,"
Lily said. Tensor flushed, embarrassed in front of Nefdada and the guards accompanying him. A magical light bloomed in the hole, illuminating everyone. It even dipped to the cutout where Logan had so frequently hidden. There was no one there.
"Logan, Finn, and Nasher,"
Tensor said, naming those missing.
"Logan and Finn hated each other. What happened?"
"King wanted..."
Lily started to say, but something cracked across her face and sent her sprawling.
"Shut up, bitch," Tensor said. "I don't trust you. You, Tats, what happened?"
"Logan wanted to build another pyramid. He wanted to attract Gorky and see if we could grab his legs and get the key off of him. Finn wouldn't go for it. They fought. Finn threw Logan in the hole, but then Nasher attacked him, and all of them fell in."
Tensor cursed.
"Why didn't you stop them?" "And fall in myself?" Tat said. "Anyone who's tangled with Finn or Logan or Nash gets killed, buddy. Your Highness. You were down here long enough to know that."
"Could they have survived the fall?" Nefdada asked in his icy voice. One of the newer inmates yelped, and everyone looked at him,
No! He shouted. Please!
A bright ball of magical light stuck to his chest and another to his back and lifted him over the hole. Then he fell. Everyone crowded around the hole, watching the light disappear into the darkness.
5, 6, 7,
Neff said. The light winked out right before 8. He looked at Tenser.
No, then. Well, I can't say your father will be pleased.
Tenser cursed. Take them, Neff. Kill them. Do whatever you do, but make it painful.